Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody doing this evening, Alafia, Jim Hotep, and greetings, and thank you for joining me for another segment of Reconstruction to Renaissance, Up from Slavery. We're talking about those spirituals, and we're going to be talking about the Renaissance, what happened to our people after they got off the plantation and went on to formalize one of the first 100 black institutions with just merely a second or third grade education. And some of them had less than that, ladies and gentlemen. We're in for a treat this time around because we're going to talk about positive things that came out of slavery and how our people were able able to pull themselves up by the bootstrap and go out into the community and formalize unions. That's right, Sleepy Part Harlow, and get involved with working with the portals and getting jobs in Harlem. This is the time when it was very, very hot and things were great in the literacy business for poets like Langston Hughes and also like Phyllis Wheatley, one of our very first African-American poets. But boy, did she have things twisted. We're going to help get her untwisted because she refused to put anything about the struggle, the slavery, and the bitterness that came out of slavery in her poetry. She refused to put anything in it. But we're going to talk a little bit also about Sojourner Truth and what Sojourner Truth did with her oratory skills and her inability to read. Look how much progress these people made with minimum amount of schooling. I was amazed, ladies and gentlemen, and you will be too once you hear what they did. Now, during that time, there was a lot of Negro heritage, the spirituals, and I'm a part of that era, ladies and gentlemen. I am a traditionalist gospel singer where I sing traditional music, and some of the music was sung without any backup music. It was sung a cappella. So they took what they had and made the best that our civilization had to give. They took the spirituals and made them real. They created institutions. They created colleges. They were immaculate in their structure and planning and how they stuck together. We were proud of what our Negro African Americans did during that time. And so was some of the other non-Melanite people. They were amazed. And this was the era where we were able to get into the churches. And this is where it all started, when the master took some of the preachers out back and told them exactly what to preach. Because, you know, they couldn't go in the churches alone. And they were really not permitted in there as a family. But when they decided to allow them to have their own churches, they had to have somebody supervise them. And I'm wondering, just what did they tell the preachers that they could preach? What were they allowed to preach? Now, this is the Renaissance time. This is when the upbeat was up and the downbeat was very minimum. And at the same time, they had organizations like the Marcus Garvey organization coming on board with all of the movement going on, Malcolm X coming on the scene later. But Marcus Garvey, who was he? And what was that movement all about? And was he trying to take us back to Africa? That was a great movement during that time. And most of those elders remember that. But today's segment, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be familiarizing ourselves with a few terms like Reconstruction, Renaissance. What familiarity do you have with Reconstruction? What exactly does it mean? I'm going to ask you to go and look at some of our terminology and questions out there and grab one or two and come in and break bread with me today and talk about them. For example, number one, why did the Southern legislature create the Black Codes? And we've been talking about that in here. How did the Black Codes give the Southerners control over the emancipation of African Americans? And number three, how did the radical Republican force into law a program about the Southern Reconstruction? Number four, what powers were given to the Freedmen Bureau? And number five, how did the Reconstruction Act of 1867 attempt to guarantee a few things to the Africans, such as the rights of the African American? And number six, what did the phrase 40 acres and a mule really mean during this Reconstruction time? Number seven, why were blacks in the South unable to become independent farmers, and why couldn't they have their independence and have their own farm? Number eight, what kept the northern capitalists from investing in the South industries? What kept them from that? Now, ladies, as some of you know, I am very interested in farming and organic farming. Now, if that was once our gift, and our inalienable right was to till the soil. Now that Obama is putting funds into the greenery, the organic, sustainable, it is a great time to be talking about farming. It is an excellent and appropriate time to be discussing it. We're going to get right into that information in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. And during this new segment, we will still carry on with our meditation and talking cure. We will still include those things because, after all, we are underwritten by an African group by the name of Project 2019. Its main goal is to close the gap of disparity of ignorance, because those Africans wanted so badly to have our people trained and institutionalized in colleges and universities. They created colleges for our people to go back to school. And that's one of the sole purpose of Project 2019, is to get people to go back to universities and training institutes to gain skills and the ability to ascertain an option to work in a profession and not just plug in hours in an 8-to-5 job. And one of our mission is to close the gap of disparity of ignorance of information and of literacy. This room is called Care to Read. That's why we're doing so much reading in this class. Most of your information for this segment will be taken from African American literacy. And these are materials that I've used throughout my teaching of 35 years in the educational system. And I thought I'd share them with you, giving you a little bit of history, which I used to give my students. Don't think that I'm the expert. I'm still open for learning, and I know that there's something you can teach me. Come on in this room and break bread with me so that we can learn together, ladies and gentlemen. And boy, am I glad to be back with you. Yes, only missed 2 days yesterday. Got confused, was so stuck into my 6 o'clock, got busy around here. Before I know it, I was out shopping, and then I looked at the clock, my class was over. So that means I got to do double time today. So let me get on with it. Do I still hear music in the air? We hear music in the air because there must be a God somewhere, and we know we're that little G. Did you get it, ladies and gentlemen? Finding the little G. We are that little G. And don't you forget it. We're still pressing on with the Kemetic Institute, the Kemetic Teaching, the Iwapelu, good character, good conduct. We are Kemetic Nubian people, ladies and gentlemen. We want to remind ourselves of that. No matter how far we go to the left to become an American, we're still Kemetic Nubian people. And we are still focusing in on the Kemetic teaching of Ifa, as well as the Kemetic teaching of our Sar and our Set. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. We are not teaching a religion in this class. We're teaching a way of life. This is a family life center. And this Family Life Center is a family and consumer science, and our whole goal is to have economic status that will be equal to other societies of people. So we're teaching a way of life in this room, and boy, have I been busy. I've completed those 2 web pages. You can go to the one and see the completion there, the one that is up under the, if I'm not mistaken, I think that one is under the Lily. No, I'm sorry. That's under the Montu Enterprise, and you will see some of the things that have been put there for you. However, you will be really amazed when you go to the second website, the Lilly Institute, which will be the Lexar Institute for Family Education. On that site, there's a number of things you can do. You can go and find out how to get your DNA tested. There are a number of different videos that I prepared there for you. And there is a whole segment of sustainability for the youth as well as for the elderly and for the in-between. There's also some information on grant writing, where the funds are. So I'm sure you're going to have a great time entertaining yourself on those websites. Now, I don't want you to get too tied up into that, because we are doing sort of like a summary and pulling that all together with questions and answers today and trying to pull those 2 days today all into one. So we have a lot to do today. And as we pull that information together, we'll be doing a lot of question and answering. So I do urge you to come in the room, and that call number for the room so that you can come in and be a part of the discussion, you can lock that dial in and just keep it right there, little G. Keep it right there. That number is 646-478-0270. Once again, 646-478-0270. And ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for joining me this evening. And I know you were looking for me yesterday, but I hope you entertained yourself with some of my audios on demand. And right now, I will be brief and I will be short. I'm going to station identification.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you up like some comfy. I'll get straight to the point. In no time, I'll have you up out this joint. I'll be short. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
Yes, and we're back, ladies and gentlemen. And I'd like to just zone in to the spiritual, the Negro spirituals during that particular era and time. There were the Jubilee Singers. Now, let me just go over a few things with you. During that particular time, there were the Jubilee Singers. And the Jubilee Singers were a group of students, ladies and gentlemen, who did traditional gospel during that era of time. And the spirituals known as the signaling songs, they were not all just for entertainment, but they were also to signal you, to give you a warning, to carry a message to the slaves. And in the spirituals, the North Star was a symbol of what, ladies and gentlemen? Do you remember? It was a symbol of freedom. Whenever you saw that North Star in the window of anyone's home, it was a symbol of freedom. Which of these symbols of freedom are we talking about? Are we talking about freedom for the Caucasian or freedom for the African-American? It was freedom for the African-American to go underground. Okay, which of these statements is not accurate, ladies and gentlemen? Let me ask the question. The spirituals are a ballad. Number A. Number B, there are no known composers of spirituals. Number C, many spirituals exist in more than one form. Number D, many spirituals carry a double meaning for slaves. The answer is spirituals are ballads. And that's exactly what spirituals are. Now, let me go on. When we hear the song, Go Down Moses, Go Down Moses, and tell old Pharaoh to let my people go. Oppressed so hard they could not stand, let my people go. Now, the Go Down Moses draws a parallel, ladies and gentlemen, between what? What does it draw a parallel between? Is it Moses and Pharaoh? Is it the Egyptian and the southern slaves? Is it the Egyptian land and the Israelites? Or is it the Israelites and the southern slaves? Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Israelites and the southern slaves. Now, if we look into it a little farther, we had the Swing Low Chariot, Sweet Chariot. And the word home referred to what, ladies and gentlemen? Do you remember? Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. carry me home. What did that mean? Was it referring to the home? It was referring to heaven. Didn't you know the Africans were trying to get to heaven? They were on their way to heaven, and that's all they thought about was getting to heaven. Now, as we go on here, the speaker in the Still Away. Now, how many of you knew the song, The Still Away? In his sermon, he talked about stilling away. What was he talking about stilling away to? The call of the thunder was making us feel like we need to still away. There were all kinds of signals. And in the song, I Got a Home in That Rock. I Got a Home in That Rock was one of the old Negro heritage. The speaker identified it with what, ladies and gentlemen? Was it with Noah? Was it with the rainbow? Was it with Lazarus? Or what was it with? Was it with Davis? It was with Davis. Now, the rainbow sign is a reference to what, ladies and gentlemen? What did it reference to? Was it reference to spiritual salvation? Noah's Ark? God's assurance that he would not send another flood? Or was it reference to a second destruction by fire? It was referencing to a second destruction by fire. And I thank God I'm free at last. In that song, the speaker refers to what? What is he referring to? Is he referring to the emancipation of slavery? Is he referring to the judgment of sinners, meeting his friends in heaven, released from earthly cares? What is he referring to? He is referring to, or the slave is referring to meeting his friends in heaven. See, everything was about getting to heaven. It was a delayed reaction of all of the goods and things that we would receive, and that no one could receive anything on earth. What a distortion for our people, and it drove them further to be a dream deferred. Now, the reconstruction to Renaissance. Ladies and gentlemen, I just want to go into a few questions with you before we go into our talking cure. Under these particular topics, we're going to be talking about the Civil War and the Southerners. After the Civil War, the Southerners did what, ladies and gentlemen? What did they do? Were they denied citizenship into the nation? They accepted the Northern plan of Reconstruction, chose their own brands and Reconstruction, accepted black Americans as citizens. What they did was chose their own brands of Reconstruction. The Black Code, ladies and gentlemen, we talked about fairly a lot during our reparation, but we want to talk a little bit more about it. And how many of you have found out in researching what the Black Codes mean? Well, were they to determine equality of blacks and whites, to reassure whites' control over black Americans, to show sympathy toward black Americans, or to restore slavery? Which of them? It was to reassure whites' control over black African Americans. The Freedmen Bureau, ladies and gentlemen, you heard me speak of the Freedmen Bureau during the reparations segment, was established to do what? To do all the following except for what, ladies and gentlemen? Was it giving black African Americans a right to vote? Number C, supervising contracts for black Americans. Number B, helping black Americans buy land. Number A, create schools for black American. No, it was D, to give black Americans the right to vote. Remember that. The Freedmen Bureau was established to give black Americans the right to vote. And black Americans who went to urban areas to find work after the Civil War was founded, they mainly were created for what? Competition with white workers, good job opportunities, the same work as the rural area, many managerial positions. It was competition with white workers. Eventually, the Southerner economy was strengthened by what, ladies and gentlemen? What was it strengthened by? Was it strengthened by new black farm owners, the cotton industry, new civil rights bill, sharecroppers? What was it strengthened with? The cotton industry helped to strengthen the Southern economy, ladies and gentlemen. A strong belief that black Americans could improve their situation by doing what? By working within the existing system? Was that the answer? Or was it who believed this? Was it Frederick Douglass, Rutherford, Hayes, W.E.B. Du Bois, Booker T. Washington? Booker T. Washington believed, a strong believer, that black Americans could improve their situation by working within the existing system. Now, the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, NAACP, founded by who? Who was it founded by? Charles Sumner, number B. Number A, Booker T. Washington. Number C, W.E.B. Du Bois. Number D, Martin Luther King Jr. Who was it founded by? It was founded by W.E.B. Du Bois. In reaction to stereotypes by white-black fiction writers, and they concentrated on what? What was their concentration? On down-home poetry, negative propaganda, drama, idealization. They were focusing in on stereotypes of idealization, ladies and gentlemen. The most famous black American poet of the era of time was who? Do you remember who she was? Was it Booker T. Washington? Was it Charles W. Chestnut? Was it Ida B. Wells? Or was it a man, Paul Laurence Dunbar? Who was he? He was Paul Laurence Dunbar, the most famous black American poet of the era was Paul Laurence Dunbar. And during that time, the most famous female was Phyllis Wheatley, say the Caucasian. But that wasn't what the African American had to say about Phyllis Wheatley. We'll get to that in a second. During his own age, Paul Laurence Dunbar was best known for what, ladies and gentlemen? What was he best known for? Was he best known for writing in the standard English? Number B, novels and essays. Number C, poems and picture graphs and dialects. Number D, protest poetry. What did he do? He did poems and picture dialects. That's what he did, Paul Laurence Dunbar. Now, Booker T. Washington, I'm sure you know that we're talking about Booker T. Washington when he came up with the Up From Slavery. Up From Slavery. And the freed slaves found it necessary to leave the plantation because of what? Why did they leave, ladies and gentlemen, after they were working the farms? Was it because there was no more work available? Number B. The plantation owners forced them to leave. They needed to improve that they were reality and free. They wished to go to the north. No, it was B. They needed to prove that they were really free. Washington's family found that living conditions outside of the plantation were deplorable. Washington found that it was always better. As a child, the one thing Washington wanted more than anything else was to A, to get new clothes, B, to learn to read, C, interesting work, D, to write a book. What was his desire? To learn to read. Washington got most of his education by doing what, ladies and gentlemen? By going to Sunday school, A, teaching himself, B, attending day school with other children? No. He got it from going to night school, ladies and gentlemen. Young Booker T. Washington helped support his family by doing what? A, reading for the townspeople. B, making clothes. C, working in a mine. And D, teaching school. And the answer is working in a mine. Until he attended school, Washington did not have a surname. Now, what was his during that time, he had, what did he have? A middle name, a first name, a nickname, or a family name. He only had a family name, ladies and gentlemen. After leaving the plantation, many families made journeys to find new homes. And where did they go? A, long places. B, difficult to find places. Was it because they were tiresome? Or was it because it was dangerous? After leaving the plantation, many families made tremendous journeys to find new homes, but it was tiresome, ladies and gentlemen. Washington's mother was able to produce a spelling book for him, okay? And that spelling book was obtained by his mother. Washington believed that the inheritance of his disposition from his mother was what? Was it ambitious? A, B, creativity. C, temperament. D, appearance. It was C, temperament. The desire to read the Bible served as an important stimulus for people of the older generation, and also for it was an incentive to help them to learn. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I read those things to you just to fill you in on what we would have done Monday and Tuesday, so you can have a bit of a foundation as we go into this. Now, Paul Laurence Dunbar was a poet, as I indicated, but Phyllis Wheatley was also a poet, and Phyllis Wheatley was very much involved with doing poems that appealed to the Caucasian man and woman, not to the African. She was rather ashamed of her heritage and wanted to insinuate that she had no effects from slavery and did not want to think of it and claimed that it did not bother her one bit, so she never wrote of the hardship of slavery. Now, therefore, her masters did not believe that she was telling the truth about writing all of these great poems. So they brought somebody in to check everything out to make sure that this was not a lie that she was telling about her writing these poems. And they found that she was telling the truth, that she had wrote these poems. Okay? They found that she was the author of the poems, and her master had taught her to read and write. So he had done a fairly good job, I would say, because she was being marveled at by all of his friends and congressmen, and she had great opportunities to travel, but she still was not looked up as nothing more than a slave. And she felt awfully bad about this because she so badly wanted to be accepted by the Caucasian families and the elite people. But that never happened for her. And Phyllis Wheatley went through a lot of terrible times, I understand, because she could not get through her head that she was merely a slave. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take some time now to do libation. And I pour libation on my hands and face to cleanse myself. For libations to the west, I say ashe. I pour libations to the north. Pouring libations to the north, I say. I pour libations to the south, and I say, I say. I pour libations to the east. I say. And if you don't already have your list of names out for your ancestors, you'd want to take them out right away. And as you take them out, I ask that you will call out the names of your ancestors, and you will honor them and acknowledge each and every one of them. I'm going to call the heroes and sheroes today because Phyllis Wheatley is a spirit that needs to be settled amongst us African Americans. We need to forgive her for her folly and her error and thinking herself to be better. And we call in the name of our ancestor, Phyllis Wheatley, and say, may she rest in peace. We call on Paul Loris Dunbar, and we say, Ashe. We call on Booker T. Washington, and we say, Ashe. We call on Sojourner the Truth, and we say, Ashe. Sojourner the Truth, though you did not learn to read, your oratory was so elegant, and we say, bring your spirit. And we call on Leontine Price and say, Ashe. We call on the name of Sojourner the Truth, and we call on the name of Nina Simone and say, Nina Simone, bring your spirit, Ashe. And as we call on these names today, I want you to be mindful that it's very important that you are to call on your mother, father. I call on my mother and father's spirit, and I pour a glass of water for my father's family. And I say, Ashe. I pour a glass of water for my mother's spirit. And I say, Ashe. I light a candle to my mother's side of the family. I say, Ashe. I light a candle to my father's side of the family, and I say, Ashe. I call Tommy Pete Harvey, Ashe. I call Eugene Jenkins, Ashe. I call Robert Jr. Jenkins, Ashe. Sam Lilly, Ashe. George Lilly, Ashe. Lucille Day, Ashe. Ludell James, Ashe. Louise Lord, Ashe. I call on Isa Lilly, Ashe. I call on Initial Lilly, Ashe. Bessie Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Lilly, Ashe. Ruby Brackens, Ashe. I call on Clifford Bracken, Ashe. Tom Harvey, Ashe. I call Michelle Harvey, Michael Harvey, Mary Lou Hawkins, Ashe. I call on all these spirits and I say, Ashe, may we stand on your shoulder today. May we be led into the promised land through your guidance and opening every door for us. I thank you, Nubian people, that you have always led us, and it's your shoulders that we stand on, and we say, Ashe, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for going into the talking cure as we quiet ourselves and meditate on nothing but spiritual, pure spiritual word. Let me vitalize your frequencies as I vitalize my frequencies, and let me synchronize my vital sign as we take deep breaths together and quiet ourselves so the higher self, our Ori, can speak to us. We say thank you to Ori for being a part of our lives and for cooperatively working together with us on one accord. And we call the Ori who sits on our head. It is the Godhead, our higher self, who sits on our head. And there must be a God somewhere because we are those little G's. Acknowledge that ye are God, little children, and ye have overcome them. And we thank you for understanding that the talking cure is what it is, what helps us to talk out our problem and find a solution for our problem. If there be one here that is sick with palsy, with illness or issue of blood, let the frequencies that are vibrating allow those vibrations of the ancestors and their melanin to heal you. Whatever problem you have today, be it economic problem, be it finances, your deliverance is near. Your deliverance is near. The atmosphere is filled with the energy of the gods today. May the frequencies vibrate into your living room, to your bedrooms, and to your homes to heal you as the melanin vibration frequency goes to and fro. Tap in, I say, ladies and gentlemen. Tap into the power so that the frequencies are there. Tap in. I'd like to thank you for going all the way with me on the talking cure. I'm going to go to station identification over here, and we have a guest in the room, and I'd like to greet the guest and say hello. Hello.
Uncle Johnson, sister, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you? And who am I speaking to?
You're speaking with Haruka Anu.
Glad to have you in the room. Do you have a comment or a statement that you'd like to make?
Yes, I wanted to talk with you off air. So you have my number, and I wanted to know if you didn't mind calling me after your show.
Okay, I have your number.
Yeah, it
Did
shows
you
on
email
your.
Email me?
It shows on your.
Oh, okay, I see it. Okay, so you want me to give you a call?
Yeah, I appreciate it.
And what's your name again?
Haru Ka Anu.
Spell that for me.
Uh-huh. H-E.
You said Haru?
Haru.
H-E-R-U?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Ka.
Uh-huh.
Anu.
Anu?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, I see it there. Did you have a statement that you wanted to make at all?
No, I'm just listening and enjoying your show.
Okay. Have you been in a room before?
I have. I have the show several. Kemet Way Par Ankh.
Okay. I think I was in your room yesterday, and I left a message.
Yes, you did.
Okay, very good, because sometimes it's hard to see the name and if it's a female or what, and for some reason, I don't know, I wasn't sure of the gender, and I may have been addressing you as if you were she.
So we have, with our show, we have several under our banner, under Kemet Way. So we do have several sisters, Sister Adina K. Amin Ra, who does the show Ankh, The Way of Life on Thursdays, and Sister Riketti Amin, who does Speak Midu Netter on Fridays.
Oh, okay, very good.
Yeah.
Are you just on the Blog Talk, or are you on any other show?
We're on Blog Talk.
Okay, because I thought maybe you might have been on Harambe at first when I saw the name. I thought you had possibly been on Harambe.
No, only as a guest.
Okay. Well, I'm glad you enjoyed the show, and I'm certainly glad you came in to respond today, and I do appreciate it. We have had to cut our time down. As you know, the new month started where we could only do the 30 minutes, and it's rather a rush when you're used to having all this time and you have all these things planned. So this is really my first day coming back with the 30 minutes. So I don't know if it's affected your presentation or what, but it certainly have affected mine.
Yes. Okay. Well, I do look forward to talking with you if you give me a call. I appreciate it.
Okay. Sounds good. Thank you so very much for dropping in, brother.
Thank you, sister. Uncle Josh.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are still in session here, and as I told you, we were going to talk a little bit about the terminology of Reconstruction and Renaissance. And if you have any familiarity with that term, you're free to drop by and give your comments and statements about it, because we're going to just be elaborating on that term a bit. Reconstruction. What does it exactly mean? And if you break down that term, you can see that re means to go back in, almost like reconstruction, almost like repair. So there are some repairs that need to be done. And not to deter you or to extenuate this topic of reconstruction, but reconstruction really is when you are looking at the repairs. And it sounds like the Africans that came right out of the Civil War and out of the sharecropping, they were involved in the process of reconstruction. They played a part on creating new atmospheres that they could do reconstruction in. A large portion of them were engaged in working on the railroad, working with the union. Some of them were involved in the drama and dance, entertainment. So there was a large amount of unions coming on the scene during this particular time. And they were engaging in joining these unions for protection, because the Negro needed protection on the job. Yes, he certainly did, because at any time it was like an at-will state. You could be fired at any given time without the protection of a union. So the African Americans, as strange as it may seem, with the minimum amount of education that they had, they were astute enough to know that it was very important that they had. Unions and protection. They understood that there's no way in the world that they could stay on jobs without having the protection of the union to protect them on the railroad, for pay incentives, for long hours, and for the opportunity to be able to get raises and promotions. It was very, very important. And ladies and gentlemen, I do have my elder here, and I'm going to greet my elder. Excuse me. Elder? Good evening, elder. How are you? I'd like to greet the elder.
Good evening. Yes, you do have permission to speak.
Thank you so very much, elder. I wanted to make sure we got her in here and greeted her. Now, ladies and gentlemen, as you go into this segment, as we talk about Reconstruction and the familiarity of it, now, Renaissance, looking at the term Renaissance, what does it come to your remembrance, the Renaissance? It sounds like something that is engaging, that is extra outstanding. Now, the Reconstruction tells us that it refers to the process of bringing the Southerner states back into the Union, because a large portion of them were not in the Union, but it was important to bring them back in the Union after the Civil War. During that period, it was very necessary. And it extended from 1865, ladies and gentlemen, to 1877. The period covered by this union extended from the 21st century, okay? And you need to know that. You definitely need to know that, ladies and gentlemen, because those periods of time is very important. The period covered by the by this that we're covering now, we're talking about 1865, the Reconstruction to opening the decade of the 21st century. Now, what about the word Renaissance? Renaissance. In this unit, the title refers to Harlem Renaissance, ladies and gentlemen. You guessed it. You probably knew about Harlem Renaissance and was familiar with it. The flowering of African Americans' literature, all this great literature came on the scene, and the arts and the music was presented during the 1920s. And that's when the Roaring Twenties came in. It was so exciting to be in Harlem. And you might want to take some time to do a timeline and talk about what happened during that time and make some notes for yourself for the historical literacy, because all of this was around literature and writing. As I told you, Booker T. Washington was writing poetry, and you had Phyllis Wheatley writing her poetry, and then you had the great orators like Sojourner Truth, and there was one other gentleman that I wanted to mention also, Frederick Douglass, who was reciting his poetry. And Frederick Douglass was not the fiery man that W.E.B. Du Bois wanted him to be, because W.E.B. Du Bois was very, very outspoken. He wasn't adamant, very outspoken and debatable. So therefore, he debated. I want you to tell me, who did he have a debate with, and what was this debate about? And what was the two different pros and cons? So when you come in tomorrow, be able to discuss that with me. It's very important that you should know something about that. Now, as I look at the questions we had, why did the Southern legislature create the Black Codes? Why was it created? Why did they create this? Was it to maintain and to be able to still have control of the African Americans so that they can impose slavery on them by making them follow these so-called outrageous laws that they created, excuse me, specifically for them? Now, if you will go on and think about this or take some more time to research, I wanted to know, why did the Radical Republicans force the laws of a program of the Southern Reconstruction? Why were these laws forced? What was it all about? What powers were given to the Freedmen Bureau? There were some powers given to the Freedmen Bureau. Do you remember? And you know this was the power giving you the right to vote. And that's when the Freedmen Bureau came in with the contract. And the contracts were making you think that you were getting jobs that would help you. When you were signing your life away, stating that you would not leave the plantation without paying your masters. So a lot of the people got locked into the Freedmen Bureau, and they were locked into these horrible contracts. And during this particular time, you had a number of Black people who were not educated. So therein lied a lot of problems for our people, because they could not read, ladies and gentlemen. And what was Andrew Johnson's policy to the South? Think about it. He had some policies. And why did the Southern legislature create all of these codes? And were they trying to better themselves? And how did the black codes give the Southerners control over them? What was it giving them control to do, to stay in slavery? And why? And as we look at that, we have to think there were few economic gains for the blacks during this time, but yet they were still ready to build institutions and establish Sleepy Harlem for the African American. What did the phrase 40 acres and a mule mean, ladies and gentlemen? Were you going to get a mule or were you going to get some money? You were truly going to get some acres of land and a mule to work that farm and $100, because $100 was a lot of money then. That's exactly what you were going to get. And why were the blacks in the South unable to become independent farmers? Because if you did business with your slave owner, then you could very well make a profit off of him. And they were not going to let the African American make a profit off of the slave owners. Therefore, you could never break a profit. The African Americans never broke a profit, and they were penniless and always on the master. So was it a trick? Well, I've been told by several different lecturers that there was something going on called shampoo. They were giving you the shampoo and leaving all this pool in a contractual situation where you were stuck. You were bamboozled because you couldn't read, and we didn't have the access to comprehend information. So therefore, you had a serious problem going on of people scamming these new slaves who had a minimum of third grade education. A third grade education. What powers were given to the freedmen? They had the power to enforce the right to vote. They had the power to enforce contracts. And how did the Reconstruction Act of 1867 attempt to punish the rights of African Americans? That's right. They punished them because if they left the plantations, they could be picked up and brought back to their master if they owed money. And what did the phrase, as I told you, the Reconstruction phrase, it was repairing going on. Who was doing all the repairing? There was the NAACP. Yes, and you had one other organization, if it'll come to my memory. The NAACP was created for the Negroes to help them, to engage them, to support them. So these new unions were coming on the scene and organizations to support the blacks because they needed protection. They needed help. In other words, what you had, ladies and gentlemen, was a situation of a boyhood life, Booker T. Washington, coming up from slavery, pulling themselves up by the bootstrap and allowing themselves to name for themselves, to define for themselves, to create for themselves. So this is where Booker T. Washington came up during his boyhood with Up From Slavery. Now that we're up from slavery, what must we do for ourselves? How do we set our aims? Washington wrote about his efforts to educate himself, to inspire himself after African Americans came up from slavery. This purpose is to give Washington a chance to get some accountability. You know, he needed accountability of the hardship that he had came out of. He had a lot of pride, so therefore he didn't want to be considered as a young man who was taking his family name. He didn't have a first name. He wanted to have this name, and so he went to church quite a bit to learn. Now, ladies and gentlemen, you know, as we look at the ex-slave on the plantation, we know that they were not able to calculate for themselves, compute, or read. So their lives, a large number of them, were still in captivity up until latest 1970 in the 21st century. And I had that on my website with a video showing you on the YouTube where the young lady, the genealogist, discovered that there were still slaves on plantation cropping fields for their masters. There were still slaves out there doing that, and they were not conscious or cognizant of the understanding that slavery had ended. They did not know this. And ladies and gentlemen, it's important that we should understand that slaves cannot function for themselves if they still need to be literate. That's why it's so very important for us to go back over our African literature, our folk tales, and understand how these people that came right out of slavery were still able to manage to function, to put together unions, and to write literacy, and to create poetry. I'm a poet, as you know, and I highly appreciate our men and women in the entertainment and in the creative arts and craft, because it takes more than a notion to be able to create from your substance and your source. I can imagine what it was like for them to try to create when they didn't have the literary ability to write or read. So they were working at a deficit, so you say, Omi. That's right. And as they worked at a deficit, Zora Neale Hurston recognized how important it was to have education, and she poured herself into the academics and became an academician in writing and literature, and she wrote quite a bit. And she wrote so many poems and wrote so many narratives that she began to research her customs and her traditions of African. She was very interested in the voodoo group of Africa. She studied it to understand the spirituality of it. And I like to say that Searching the Truth had no literary ability to write, but she was a great orator. Now, that goes to show you that some of our people who have a gift for the orator don't necessarily have to read. And W.E.B. Du Bois, the Songs of Smokey that he was involved in, and this was a playwright that was written. One of the things I want you to understand is that this week we're going to get into some more information about the Renaissance, what was happening, what was going on. And this is an exciting time. I want you to get excited about it. I like to play you a Negro heritage that my group and I created in Germany. And I think you've heard it before, but I like to play it for you again, just so you can see what a Negro heritage sounds like.
Over my head. over my head.
Planetorial galactic, meaning that we might be aliens who are not from this land. But we certainly had our music to soothe us, to comfort us during those hardship times. And we had the music that was able to soothe our men when their backs were broken and to encourage them. And we had our music from our mother who held our children and reassured them. It was a traditional gospel music that we sang that got us through slavery and into the times of the Renaissance. And boy, were the Renaissance a good time, because it was high rolling, big rolling, great times for the Africans then. That's when they put on their Sunday go to meeting hat and they cocked it to the side and took that one good dress out the closet and those bent over shoes and went into town and decided to go and sit down like Miss Seeley did and hear themselves some music. And they were satisfied with the minimum wages that they had to live by, because it was always Saturday, a chance to go hear you some music and to recuperate yourself. Oh, yes, a lot of them got bent during that time because their heads were messed up. A lot of them wanted to ease the pain because they thought that they could not find their way back to themselves. They went through so much, but so much was gained during this time as well. And all that was gained, would you believe it? All of our bus companies, all of our businesses up in Minnesota, up in Harlem, were all destroyed because of integration. It was a joke, ladies and gentlemen. We didn't have enough to integrate. And when two people come to the table and have to integrate, you must come with equal parts to integrate. And if you do not have enough, you will find yourself being locked out of society. And that's exactly what happened. Most of our people who were business owners and entrepreneurs became locked out of society because after they start integrating the buses that Rosa Parks so elegantly sat on and pushed for our people to ride on the front of the buses, they got so intrigued with riding on the front of the buses that they no longer wanted to ride on their own buses, which they own. And they had to go out of business. There was a lot happening during this Renaissance, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to find out about it, and we're going to break bread together and get into it, and we're going to talk about it. And I hope that you can come back. I want you to lock that dial in so you can call in and be a part of this discussion and also be a part of the solution to the problem. You can lock it in at 646-478-0270. And Omi is looking forward to being with you again tomorrow. And thank you for being so patient with me today. You know, our time has been cut down, ladies and gentlemen. I must tell you this. We're no longer in this room for a full hour. Now, hopefully, in about a month or two, things might change and I may be coming on where, you know, if it be inshallah, in God's will, that we should own this station, then we'll look forward to that. And it's going to happen. I know it is. Then we'll have as much time as we want, and we can break bread with some speakers and a number of other people. And this week, we might have that speaker coming in. He didn't want to speak on reparation, but he might want to speak on the Renaissance time. So we're going to employ him one more time to come in to speak on the Renaissance time. It's a more joyous time, easy, laid-back time where you could talk about great things happening to our people and talking about how they did it with just a little bit of something, a little bit of something, and we have so much at our disposal. We can do much better than what we're doing. We can go a little bit further, but first we have to know thyself. And in knowing ourselves, we must know our comedic teaching. We must understand that we come from a Nubian people, and we must understand that Osiris Set was just the beginning of teaching us what Amun-Ra wanted to show us. We can go back there, ladies and gentlemen, with gathering ourselves in groups and starting to study in the comedic groups. We can go back there and learn what we have to learn to make ourselves a better nation. I don't know about you, but I'm on that path. I hope you are too. So come back and join me tomorrow and get on that path with me as we go out of here singing Swing Low. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, I love coming up after me, coming for to carry me home. Ladies and gentlemen, you have a great evening, and I'll be right back at you tomorrow in the atmosphere. And remember, it is the power of faith that gives us the ability to come in here every day so that we can expound upon topics that are going to feed your soul. Come back tomorrow and get your helping of supper so you can have your soul fed too. I just want my soul fed. I just want my soul fed. Get your soul fed tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen. Looking forward to seeing you tomorrow. Have a great day. And on that note, we say, oh, double, and baba booey to you, y'all. Have a great one.